Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hello, you're listening to me, Deb Wolf, on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And we're here with Dave Ratner again because he's such a good guest. He gives you what you need to know about food and nutrition and things to buy and how to keep your pet safe and all kinds of other things. So, davespetcity.com. Welcome back to the show, Dave.
Why, thank you.
We've got Dave Ratner joining us again. And as I sit here talking with you, Dave, it's been, I think, 4 years since we had snow on Christmas out here in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And I'm looking out the window, and there it is, coming down, giant flakes like a postcard Christmas, like a beautiful holiday postcard. So what do people need to know if they're looking out the set, the same thing right now? I know salt is a worry. What should they be doing to keep their dogs safe?
Well, so you're going to laugh at this. But,
okay.
You know, you've got to be really careful about antifreeze. Did you know that? Antifreeze.
Oh, absolutely. No, I don't think it's funny. I once had a Golden Retriever customer, Golden Retriever, 70-pound dog, and the neighbor put antifreeze out to kill coyotes, and this dog got into it.
Oh,
and after struggling for a week at the vet, he died.
Yep.
Like, there's just no coming back. It's so toxic.
Right. So antifreeze is just, you know, you got to be really make sure. But so here's the really funny part. So, you know, a lot of times you see small dogs with boots on and stuff. The larger the dog, the more the threat, and you know this, the more the threat of the paws getting irritated and cut from salt and stuff and it for outdoor dogs. So even though you have a very manly, you know, shepherd or large dog or something, putting boots on them, if the dog is an outdoor dog that you go out with and run with and stuff, is like the best thing you could ever do for the dog. And because
I have a lot of customers who won't do it. You're exactly right. They will put booties on the little tiny toys.
Right. And the little ones
don't
need
cute,
it.
And they will not put it on the big dogs, even when the dog maybe has a problem.
Right.
Like a paw issue
or,
you know, has baldness on the paw, is excessively licking it. Sometimes they get sores on the bottom of their paws. I once knew a dog with a tumor. The dog I just referred to about the antifreeze, I just want to be clear. The neighbor of the people who owned him, they were apologetic. The people were heartbroken. I mean, nobody wanted this to happen, right? It's an accident gone wrong.
Right.
But even a tiny little drop on your driveway licked up by your dog can kill him. So you can buy antifreeze that's not toxic to kids and pets, or you can really, really, really be careful. That's kind of the message there. Okay, so the boots. You want to put boots on a big, tough dog, do you?
You know, I'm all about, you know, getting boots for larger breed dogs. So people don't understand this. The larger the breed, the bigger the spaces are between the pads and the feet. So the more likely salt and stuff can get in there and just rip those things apart. So you got to be really, really careful about that. The second thing is, which is a huge business now, is what kind of, you know, rock salt or ice melter you use in your yard. And there's certain kind, you know, you always want to look for the pet
safe. Okay, so I want to ask you about that, because I used to buy from my dog kennel in the driveways here, I used to buy the kind that's good for pets at triple the price.
Yep.
And then my vet told me, salt is salt is salt. Keep it away from them. Use it sparsely. Buy any kind. Is he right?
I've never heard that before.
Ooh. I don't know if he's right. Now, I'm just so worried about them getting it in their system. It's so difficult for dogs when they lick it off.
You know what, though? Because some of the pure, you know, I don't know. I hate to say this. I am stumped beyond stumped.
Mm-hmm. That's a tricky one. Because are they just a gimmick marketing thing? Or is there really a purity there that is less offensive to animals? I don't know. But I do know, no matter what salt you use, you got to rinse those paws off, because if you don't rinse them, he's going to lick them. And that's what you don't want.
Right, 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 right. You know what? You've got... So the question is sodium chloride. So that's the question. So, you know, any salt can... I'm reading now. Any salt can burn, and leading veterinary groups such as the American Veterinary Medical Association, blah, 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 caution that exposure to salts and salt-based ice melting products, a common occurrence, can cause dogs severe dermatitis, inflammation of the paws, blah, blah, blah. 60% of households use rock salt-based products. 30% don't do any, whatever, whatever. So what you don't want to use is salt-based, and I think what you do want to use is the sodium chloride ones. That's and that's according to the American Veterinary Association.
Or better still, shovel, use dirt.
Yeah, you know,
sometimes
what,
cat litter works.
Yeah, well, cat litter does work, and it certainly doesn't hurt anybody. Your dog might get offended that you're putting cat litter down, but it certainly doesn't hurt anybody.
Not if you use cat litter, then he'll love it.
Yeah, right.
For different reasons. So, okay, so before you go, I know you wanted to talk a little bit about keeping pets safe at the holidays, and that's the topic we're leading into for the rest of the show today. So I just thought I'd ask you what you want to leave people with. We just have a couple of minutes left, and maybe let them know your website so they can find out more.
Okay, so... Again, you know, really avoid giving the dog any treats unless they're unless they're for pets. Dogs weren't made for people food, especially for treats and, you know, the candies and the, all this kind of stuff. Chocolate is really, really bad for them. So watch out that it doesn't get into any of your treats. And a lot of people have dogs, as you know, that jump up on the table, and they have cats that jump out. Right? You can't keep cats off anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So everything.
And they're curious. These things are getting a lot of attention, these gifts and presents, and they have wrapping and all that stuff's really deadly for cats, all the wrapping. But the dogs, they could smell what's in there.
Yeah.
They want to know, right?
Yeah. 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 So you really have to be vigilant, and you can't have wires lying around, and you can't have anything that, even stuff as you don't think about it, but if the dog or the cat's paw pulls on a wire and something's going to fall over. And the cats, you know, love the lights and the trees and all this kind of stuff. So it's like having a baby in the house.
Yeah, it really is, except they're even more capable of getting into things, right? They're even more unpredictable than a baby.
Yeah. Yep.
I sometimes imagine what a dog sees, you know, because he doesn't really see with his eyes. If I walk into somebody's living room and there's maybe all these Hanukkah presents and Christmas presents and decorations and stuff, if I was a dog, I wouldn't see wrapped gifts on the floor. I would see chocolate, cheese of the month club. I would see everything that's there. I'd know exactly what's edible.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you.
Oh, can you give out your website? We've only got a minute left, and I know I'll have you back next week. But until then, if they want to hear from you.
Davespetfood.com.
Davespetfood.com, everyone, if you want to know what to get, what not to get, the best bets
and listen,
for nutrition.
And this is very important. My birthday is coming up in a couple of days, and so I love presents. I just thought I would announce that.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, I'm going to have to put my thinking cap on that one. All right, everybody, until next week, we'll have Dave back. Thank you for joining us, Dave.
See ya.
And we'll
be
coming up next talking about cats for a little while, and dogs too. Thanks, Dave. All right, stay tuned, everybody, to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy,
I'm your doggy,
and I love you,
and I love you,
and you know that
you know
I really do.
I really do.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, with me, Deb Wolf, as usual. And we're continuing our festive holiday celebrational theme. We've got two guests with us today, Dusty Rainbolt. I've had her on the show before. You all know her as the Cat Wrangler. And she helps you make cat wrangling easy, because that's her book, Cat Wrangling Made Easy. She's got many, many books about cats, and she can help you with a multi-cat household. cats that are mildly disruptive to all the way pains in the butt. She can help you with that. Do not give away the cat. Call Dusty. So, Dusty, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. As always, I love being here and visiting with you and your guests and your audience.
Well, we do have another guest today. We've got Becky Starr, and I'm just reading her bio. It's so long and so impressive, and I just want to be her new friend because Becky Starr has, well, she's with Redstone Media Group, and she's a blogger in L.A., a pet examiner blogger for the L.A. Pet Examiner, Pet Care Examiner, and some of her credits include events at the Rose Bowl Stadium and just educating and helping people understand how pets work in an incredible way. So welcome to the show, Becky.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure, and as a newbie, I hope I can bring something to the table.
Oh, I'm sure you will. I know today we're going to talk about celebrations. I'm sitting here looking at snow falling down. It's the first time in maybe 4 or 5 years that Vancouver's seen snow at Christmas time, at Hanukkah time. So we're all very excited about that. And I guess we'll start with you, Becky. What do you suggest for people to enjoy the celebrations without ending up at the vet clinic?
Well, that's a really huge topic. So kind of today I thought, you know, we're all in a celebratory mood right now with the holidays coming upon us. And in reality, you know, us humans love to celebrate, whether it's a nationally recognized holiday or perhaps a personal accomplishment, birthday, anniversary, graduations, wedding, any of the kind of up-close and personal moments that we have in our lives. And we all love a reason to party. But many times during these celebratory events, you know, we get in the whole mix and hustle and bustle of preparing, and many times we forget to consider our furry animal family members, what they're feeling, how they're reacting. Because as we all know, by being deeply passionate pet lovers, they're part of our family. They feel us. They sense us. They know when you're getting ready to leave the house. So they react to all changes, right? And they may start out acting out in ways that you're not used to seeing, and perhaps you're not noticing. So I think the first thing to do is to become aware that any time you're going to create a celebration in the home especially or travel, more importantly than anything else is to pencil them in and involve them in any way that you can to kind of take that anxiety out or that insecurity away. And this way, by including them, they start learning to embrace the different, the unusual, you know, the unexpected, which will turn into a very socially adapted little furball that you can feel confident about in the future. Some of the things I do when it comes to including and considering our pets' well-being during the celebratory times, first of course, is keep them in mind, because what may seem norm to us is far from norm to them. All of our routines change. Suddenly we have all these alien-looking objects and decorations coming into the house, appearing in their safe space.
Strangers, right? Deliveries, guests, visitors, way more
bells, ringing, guests. And all these things talk and move and strange noises.
You're sounding a little bah humbug there, Becky.
No, not at all.
These are all the things we love, right?
We love and embrace, but to our dogs, these are like these aliens, right? So we just have to remember that's why they suddenly, you know, are going to go attack something or rip it up when we're gone, because it's, you know, what are these new things? So the easiest way I can say for me what I do, every time I introduce something new into the house while we're getting ready, I let them look at it and smell it. And, you know that, hey, this is good. This is okay. And you know, they adapt to that. When they know you're okay with something and you show it to them and they know what it is, then they're okay. And that's kind of, you know, what I like to do is, you know, is introduce whatever I'm introducing to them, and they tend to, you know, play it out and feel good about it.
You know, I do see a lot of parallels with some of the dog training I do. Like when a dog reacts to bicycles or people with crutches or people with hats, this is how you start. You just bring a hat home and you just leave it on the floor. And eventually you wear it and, you know, you just slowly get them used to it. But I want to open the conversation up to Dusty because how does this fit into the cat scenario? The cat maybe isn't the most friendly, outgoing, adventuresome cat, likes things to stay the same. What do we do to kind of apply Becky's advice to that cat when everything's changing?
Well, I think that during the holidays, as y'all have said, there's people coming and going, packages arriving, just all kinds of stuff and bringing strange things in the house. But cats are a little bit different. You introduce them to a tree, and you know they want to climb it. they want to pull ornaments down, or they want to tear up the Halloween decorations, or you know, eat the tinsel. And so there are a lot of things that they can get into on a three-dimensional level that you kind of don't really have to worry about with dogs. So.
Or babies. I mean, your baby isn't going to climb to the top of the bookcase, but your cat sure will.
Exactly. And, you know, I don't know. I've never heard of a kid eating tinsel or Easter grass or, you know, I guess that could happen, but it's just not very common.
Do you know what does happen with dogs and kids is that liquid they use to flavor and scent and keep the tree fresh. That's a big danger. So, you know, use sugar water and replace it often instead of using chemicals. Try and reduce the toxic things that you have around. We're coming to a break. We're going to come back more and talk about, going to let Dusty finish explaining how to prepare your cat for Christmas, because like she says, your cat's just going to climb that Christmas tree. It might not help to let it get used to it. Maybe it'll just get more used to climbing the tree. You know?
Approval.
And we all want to know.
That's what they brought me.
That's right. And I'm going to talk about coupons. You know how sometimes you give a coupon, maybe it's at Valentine's Day, usually a lover gives a coupon to another for a back massage or something like this. Well, we can do coupons to our pets because believe me, they'd rather get a coupon for a walk that mom gets to enforce and make son or daughter actually, you know, fulfill. They'd rather get that coupon for a walk than junk food. So let's talk about that when we come back. And we're going to be on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio, of course. It's me, Deb Wolf, and I'm talking with Becky Starr and Dusty Rainbolt. So you got three heads together telling you how to enjoy your celebrations with your pets. Stay tuned on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
All Paws Pet Talk Radio, and you're listening to me, Deb Wolf. I'm a best-selling author and a columnist and a radio host. I won 3 times for Best Pet Radio in America through the Dog Writers Association of America. But I also encountered early in my career, a long time ago, an amazing cat writer through the Cat Writers Association named Dusty Rainbolt, who's here today. And together, we've written for an awful lot of magazines and online publications, and we do a lot of radio, and we try and educate the public about how to take better care of their pets. And we've just made an amazing discovery. We've just discovered that Becky Starr is looking for us. So, Becky, can you let our audience know about that list of publications you just told us that was too quick for us to even write down? Amazing
okay.
list.
Okay, yes. Redstone Media Group is kind of, you know, the corp name. But basically 18 years ago, we came out with a publication called Animal Wellness Magazine. It was the very first integrative, all-green, organic, natural publication ever introduced to the pet line. Since then, we've grown into feline wellness, equine wellness, so we address dogs, cats, and horses. And it's all educational, informational resource, not a fluff and foof publication, but an educational resource. And we are a national publication, so we go to everybody and anybody who wants us. And then we opened up Integrative Veterinarian Care Journal, kind of East meets West, because the veterinarians are opening up their minds and their doors to alternatives. And then we also published the American Holistic Veterinarian Medical Association journal. And we also have the largest selling dog magazine, all dog, called Canadian Dog Annual in Canada only. All the rest of our publications are throughout the U.S. and Canada. But it's all about health, all about alternatives, all about, hey, if I don't want to do this, what can I do instead? So, yes, we're there. We've been out 18 years, and I would be happy to, you know, give any of your subscribers that write in a free digital subscription to any one of our magazines. They can let you know who they are and how to reach them and open up the doors to that.
Do you know, I might want to put something like that on my website at dubwolf.ca. Okay, well, we'll check that out later. So we did leave in the middle of Dusty explaining to us, okay, so you bring the Christmas tree home, you get the dog used to it so he doesn't lift his leg on it and he doesn't act strange with it, right? Think it's a big chew toy. But that may not work for the cat. So what do you do with the cat, Dusty?
Well, one thing you have to remember is kitties like routine. They don't like changes. They don't want you bringing in a new chair. They don't want you doing strange things. They don't want parties. So one thing I would do is, if you haven't already, I would set up the comfort zone with Feel Away, which is a friendly pheromone, a calming pheromone. There, you can also get calming collars from Century, and they have a different pheromone. And those, I seem to have a lot of good luck with that. Also, when you have people coming in, I would just put the kitties up. They don't want to be around all the hubbub. And you don't
so when you say put them up, you mean give them a quiet room if you can?
Yeah, yeah.
Set a private area?
Set up a safe room with their box and their comfort items, and their blankie and their toys and their food. Just let them get away from it. Because now some cats, there are always exceptions. Some cats thrive on company. Others don't. And so I would just, you know, if you have a quieter cat, an older cat, put them in a nice safe room and go visit them. And you know, if you have some guests that the kitties know, then let them go in there and visit. But a big party is a problem. And also, you don't want the cats getting out. You don't want them sneaking out. As people are coming and going. And holidays when there are fireworks, put them up. Around 4th of July, 4th of July is the biggest day of the year for pets disappearing. So anytime you've got fireworks, put your pets up.
Yes, and for people on the West Coast, that can mean Halloween, that can mean July 1st. There's a lot of times of the year when people do fireworks. It can mean when the local team wins the big game. I mean, you kind of got to be prepared for it.
If you live
near Disney World, it's every night.
Every night, yes. I'm on the West Coast.
We get calls from those people asking me what to do, and I tell them about the Thunderstruck shirt, and I tell them about playing tapes and desensitization and all kinds of other remedies, but it's a tough one. I love your suggestion of the pheromone spray. The only complaint I have about that is I can't get in Canada yet the multi-cat version. Oh, they drive me crazy with these commercials showing me what I want and can't have. But that pheromone feel-away diffuser spray, it's so impressive. Its effect on making cats chill out, calm down, and be nice. It's just great. I just love it. Have you tried it, Becky?
Yes, actually. I'm very familiar with most of the product lines out there after being here 15 years. We're looking at products every day. And, of course, our office, by the way, is in Peterborough, Canada, our corporate office. And so I know your limitations out there. What I would recommend on that topic, if you can't get a hold of something that is pretty much everywhere, it's made by Bach. And I'm sure you're going to know what it is. It's called Rescue Remedy.
Yes, I've tried Rescue Remedy. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to contact Feel Away directly, and because I plug their products so much, because I really, really have tested and tried them. I don't plug things if they don't work. And so I think they're going to send me a kit because they want me to talk about it. Of course
they
do.
Well, the thing about Rescue Remedy is, you know, we all want to be all, do all, fix all, right? But Rescue Remedy, what I do is, on any kind of thing where there's going to be new stress added to their lives, I don't care if it's a celebration, a holiday, you're getting them ready for a car drive, especially a cat, I start putting it in their water bowl several days ahead. So you can just put like a one or two drops in clean water every day so that it begins to get into their system. And then there's a spray. So you can just spray it around them or around their cage or around their head or right in their mouth. And also give yourself a couple shots, too, for the stress.
For the stress of catching the cat, yeah.
So sometimes it doesn't work quickly. Some animals, it works very quickly, but it is available everywhere. Just start it a few days ahead of time so you kind of work that calm, relaxing mode into their system. And that is helpful for that.
What I recommend with a lot of with cats is you can put it on your fingers and then rub it into their tips
of their ears. Tips of their ears, pads of their feet. Yeah, the tips of the ears and pads of the feet are their most absorbent arena.
See, that's interesting because I would have just naturally gone for the face because I like to let the animal choose. And normally when I put my hands out with Rescue Remedy on my hands, the animal will immediately rub its face into my hands. So I figure that's what it wants, right?
Sneeze.
The cheeks.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Oh, or they start sneezing. And also remember, there are two versions. One has, of course, their preservative is an alcohol base. The other one for animals has a no alcohol base. So you do have an option with that.
You know, I want to ask you about this ear touching thing, because sometimes I find, both in dogs and cats, light touching at the ends of the ears is kind of associated with flirting or mating. Are we giving kind of a mixed message, or is there a way to do it so it's different?
I don't know how, what, you know.
Maybe Dusty. Maybe this one's for Dusty.
Is, but I just know that it goes by the similar point of acupuncture, acupressure points in the body, right? And those, the tips of their ears, just have that point that relaxes them. So you might see them kind of start stroking or moving their head or their eyes kind of closing. It relaxes them. It's an acupressure point for them to the nervous system. So you could get a variety of reactions on that.
Dusty, what do you think about that?
Well, I agree. I do massage it in and have never, you know, even cats that are a little picky about being handled don't seem to mind that. Now, of course, you know, you're going to have different situations with different cats and dogs. Some cats may have had issues with their ears, perhaps ear mites at one time, so they might be a little sensitive to having it on their ears. In that case, put it on the pads or, as she said, the water. So I just like to know that they have it, you know.
spread it in the air above them, too.
Yeah.
If they don't like it in their mouth, they don't like the taste, they don't like touch, you can just spray it right above you, kind of make it, you know, an aromatherapy type of usage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going to our next break, but before we do, I want to just suggest the idea of coupons to anybody who's looking for a gift. It's, you know, you go to the pet store, you buy something, maybe the dog's allergic to it. Maybe the cat will destroy that. Maybe the owner can't use it at all. It might be a better idea to give a coupon or to give a gift card or something so they can buy what they need. And as far as kids go, get your kids to make coupons, giving the dog a good walk, giving the cat a groom, giving the cat a play session with a time on it. And when they give that, you make sure they honor it. Okay, we're coming back from break, and Dusty's got some news for us about a brand new test that's really helpful to an awful lot of dogs and cats. It's a health test for kidney problems, and we'll be talking about that next with Becky Starr and Dusty Rainbow and me, Deb Wolf. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
And I love you.
And you know that.
I really do.
Hello, you're listening to Smart Animal Talk on Paws Pet Dog Radio. And I'm calling you from Camp Good Dog, where there are many, many dogs, including six in the house right now, and you will not hear them. On the other hand, we're talking with Becky Starr over there and Dusty Rainbolt. And often when Dusty's on the show, you hear her pets. Yes, you do. You even hear her talking to her husband, asking him to get a handle on them. And today we just heard Becky's. Becky's got a Boston Terrier and a Jack Russell, which is just energy in a little package. Lots of energy, ping pong ball kind of activity going on around there. Fetchaholics. So she knows dogs. She definitely knows dogs. So we've got Becky Starr and Dusty Rainbow. And we were talking about holidays and celebrations. And one thing I want to get out there is if you are going to dress up your pets, do it quick. Take the picture, take it off again. They don't like it as much as you think they do. They may pretend or they may seem to like it because they like the attention and the treats. But really, just take the picture and get it off them and pick wisely. Don't pick anything dangerous. Okay, so that's just a quick safety tip to get out there. And the last segment, Becky was telling us about the many publications she is interested in looking at work from Dusty and me for. So you may see our writing in Becky's publications coming up soon. And until then, if you want to get a little inside information, a scoop on an article Dusty's going to be writing, Dusty, would you mind telling us about this great new breakthrough with kidney testing?
Oh, yes. Now, this is just pretty much hot off the press. This year, IDEX, a veterinary laboratory, released a brand new kidney test. And just a little back information. Up until this test was available, dog and cat owners had to depend on a combination test. It's the creatinine and BUN test. And creatinine is a waste product released by the muscles. And the bad news is it's not really a kidney test, but once the kidneys are no longer able to filter this out, then they go, oh, well, this animal has creatinine in their blood. And but the worst part is it doesn't appear until there is 70% irreversible damage to the kidneys. And so that means you can have a cat that looks great or a dog that looks great, and then all of a sudden they lose weight, they do a test, and lo and behold, suddenly they're on death's door. Well, and another thing, cats don't show symptoms. Cats will try to fool you as long as they can because it's a survival mechanism. Well, this brand new test, it's the... hang on. I have to look at the word because I always mess it up. It's SDMA, and that is actually a byproduct of the kidney itself. And
so up until now, your animal was really, really ill for them to detect it. And now they can detect it before your animal gets ill. That's huge. Dogs and cats. That's
dogs
just
and
like
cats. And it's especially important in cats because cats hide disease so well. It's the symmetric diethylarginine test. Don't ask me to say that again. But
some dogs hide it well, but most dogs really do show you their pain. Whereas you're right, cats, it's a big secret. If they went around advertising their pain, they'd get eaten by bigger animals, wouldn't
they? That's exactly right. That is exactly right. So, but this test is so cool because it actually, SDMA shows up in the blood when there is 25 to 40% kidney loss. So that means you don't even have 50% loss at that point. You can, if you are alerted to the fact that you've got a problem before they start showing symptoms, you can change the food they're on. You can change the medication to something that's kidney friendly. You can start giving fluids. You can introduce fountains and wet food and, you know, introduce more fluid into their diet.
Becky, I can hear you trying to interject there. So as soon as Dusty's done, I'm about to give you a chance.
Oh, no, I was simply going to ask you something about when you were mentioning about
You know, the cats don't show us their symptoms often. One of the things I've learned and kind of want to get your take on is that many times when a cat starts going out of their box,
absolutely.
I have learned from my veterinarian community that's usually a sign that there's some kind of pain going on when they start going outside of the litter box. And that it's always a sign to take them in and check for UTIs, urinary tract infections, or kidney problems. Have you found that to be true of a symptom people could watch for?
Absolutely. Well, there are a number of symptoms, and that really is the first one. It could also be a symptom of stress, which could cause interstitial cystitis and inflammation in the bladder. But, yeah, anytime your cat starts going outside the box, whether they're pooping or peeing, you know, take them to the vet. And it doesn't matter if you took them to the vet 2 weeks ago, because it's like when you get the flu. Okay, 2 weeks ago you didn't have the flu. Just because you didn't have it 2 weeks ago doesn't mean you're not sick now. And the same thing could be true of your cat.
Right.
You know, I just think it's a funny funny turn of phrase, you know, the one time you just don't want them going out of the box. Right? Normally we're all thinking out of the box. Thinking out of the box is a great thing. But when your cat goes out of the box, it's nasty. And a lot of times that's the number one reason they get given up.
That's
and
exactly
it could
right.
just be a simple health problem, right? Sometimes
mm-hmm.
it's not even a serious health problem. Sometimes it's a real quickie fix. But people they get mad, they get furious, they scold, they sometimes smack or rub noses in it. They do all kinds of things that if the cat is ill, he cannot help it. So for God's sakes, get him to the doctor first before you assume it's behavioral. Now, if your doctor vet tells you there's nothing wrong with your cat, okay, now we're on to something, right, Dusty? This is like the gravy, the meat of our show. Here
well,
we go.
This is
what we're always talking about.
I actually don't agree with that because a lot of cats are subject to something called feline interstitial cystitis. It's something women don't get feline interstitial cystitis, but they do tend to get onset of cystitis with no cause. I mean, and now they, by studying cats with this issue, they're understanding that both cats and women respond to stress with inflammation of the bladder. So you may not have crystals in the urine, or you may not have. The truth is, bladder infections are only common in cats with kidney disease and cats over 10. Bladder infections are not common to younger cats.
If you have a younger cat that gets diagnosed, because I just had one a caller called into the radio maybe 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and his cat. He thought his cat was learning to use the toilet. He was so impressed. He thought the cat had just all of a sudden started trying to use the toilet. I think what happened was the cat was having so much pain using the litter box, he sought an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
But then the cat got blocked, and the cat ended up at the vet, and he got told that he had crystals in the urine. The cat's only 2 years old, maybe not even. So what do you think's going on with that?
You mean him using the toilet? I'm not sure I understand your question.
Why would such a young cat, I think he was using the toilet because he was painful in the litter box, but why would such a young cat have this problem with crystals in the urine?
Well, it could have to do with the food. But regardless, mm-hmm. again, it's like Becky said, any time the cat goes outside the litter box, if he has been a litter box user, you need to go to the vet. And just because the vet says, oh, well, he doesn't, you know, I'm not seeing anything. The problem with interstitial cystitis is it waxes and wanes. It can resolve.
Oh.
It can resolve without treatment. But the good news is the most productive treatment of that is play with your cat.
Okay, Dusty, we have to cut to break. We're going to come back with this. If you've got the cat that's well when you take it to the vet, like the car that works when you take it to the mechanic,
Right. Okay,
we might have a solution for you. But if your cat is all of a sudden not using litter box, please take it to the vet first. Okay, we'll be back. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk Radio with Becky Starr, Dusty Rainbolt, and me, Deb Wolf. Stay tuned.
I'm your doggy.
I'm your doggy.
and I love you, and you know that I need you too.
Hello, we're back on Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Dog Radio, and we were playing Who's Got the Best Weather. I lost. Okay, so I don't like playing that game with my hosts in their 70 degrees and 80 degrees. It's sunny, my guests, and I'm out here in the snow. All right, okay. You can't play Who's Got the Worst Weather with a Canadian, because then we always win. But we're coming back to the show to talk about a serious topic, this new kidney test, because sometimes you have to know what to ask for. You can't just, your vet means well and everything, but this is like cutting edge, and he may not know, or he may not know you want this. So, okay, how do people access this, Dusty?
Okay, this test is called the SDMA, and it's provided only, it's a proprietary test by the IDEX Reference Laboratories. So if you have to go in and your cat needs blood taken, ask them to send it off to IDEX, and most health panels will have that in there, especially a senior health panel. Which you should be doing if you have cats over, you know, six or seven. You should be doing a senior panel. The other cool thing about this is it, even though it won't tell you the cause of the kidney disease or the kidney failure, if you have like a younger cat that's 8 years old, it'll tell the vet, we need to look someplace else. We need to look at the heart. We need to look at the thyroid. We need to look at possibly dental disease, because dental disease can cause kidney disease. So anyway,
dental disease is a big one, isn't it, Dusty? I mean, it can cause heart problems, too. It can cause a lot of problems for pets.
Well, yes. When you think about what the kidneys do, I mean, the kidneys filter waste and toxins, they manage blood pressure, and they produce a lot of enzymes and hormones, and they even help with the blood production. So you can't live without kidneys. So, you know, if you notice that your kitty's throwing up occasionally, that's a problem, because cats really aren't supposed to throw up occasionally.
Wait a minute, Dusty. What about, I mean, I've had in the past, not now, but long-haired cats, and a week would go by without a clump of hair somewhere in the house. But that's not what you're talking about, is it?
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when they throw up after eating, or if you see clear residue and you don't see hair in it. You know, if that happens a couple of times, it's not anything to worry about, especially shedding season. But if your cat, you know, throws up two or three times a week, it's time to go get the old kidneys checked out.
So, Dusty, can I ask you a real quick question?
Sure.
You're mentioning about cats. Of course, I know that's your specialty, but I think you mentioned that this test also relates to dogs.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, so with the dogs, like we were kind of talking earlier about symptoms of our little feline friends, of going outside the box, the only symptom I'm aware of, and maybe you can add on to this, with dogs is when they start urinating much more frequently than normal, and that's a big sign to watch out for as well, correct?
Yes, frequent urination, also urgent urination, accidental urination, and thirst. If your dog just seems to be drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking, that can be a sign.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Oh, and this test has also found several cases of kidney stones when they were small. So, again, you know, those get too big and they start damaging. So it's just a really cool thing, and if you go to the vet, ask for it, because it doesn't cost any extra. The lab is is adding this at no charge to the old kidney tests and the old senior pet tests. So,
that's great.
You know, I think I should bring up a point here. As we've been sort of saying, cats and dogs can be similar. They can also be different. Mm-hmm. And if that's your only symptom, if the only symptom you have is your dog right now is drinking more than usual and peeing more than usual, just a little bit, and maybe there's some unusual things going on, like a new dog next door or a dog visiting, well, that's a bit social. That's not exactly a symptom. So, you know, it's kind of tricky sometimes to identify the symptoms. But if your dog is like down and out, lethargic, low energy, that's the kind of thing that goes with this kind of a health problem. It sort of brings me back to a Far Side cartoon. I don't know if you ladies ever saw the one where the dog husband and the dog wife are having a conversation and the dog husband is sucking on a garden hose and she's saying, oh, you're going for a night on the town, are ya? And it's just...
No, I didn't see that one.
Because, you know, when there's an intact male and another intact male, or they can smell a female near, they might start to urine mark more than usual. And that's just part of the dating game with dogs. So you can't, or if you're taking him to the dog park and there's tons of markings, well, he's going to want to leave his mark, even if he's on empty. So he's going to want to refill. You can't necessarily call that a kidney problem. So we really are looking at animals that seem under the weather, right? A little lower energy. Something's going on. You know something's going on. And you should be feeling your dogs and your cats all over, every part of them, quite often. You should be getting used to how they really are, what they look like. You should be able to tell when something's not right.
Well, you know, watch their appetite. If they're suddenly not eating, if they're spilling food, then you could have the dental disease. Dogs do show pain a little bit more than cats, as a rule, not always. But anytime a pet is doing something uncharacteristic, anytime there's a behavior change, you need to go to the doctor or you need to go to the vet.
You know, Becky, would you like to comment on that?
Absolutely. I mean, while you guys were talking, it's like, you know, I'm a bit of over the top, and I'm sure you two are too, and probably most of your listeners. My animals are, you know, I say, your heart, my heart, your heart. I know every single routine they do. When they turn wrong, their foot goes wrong, this goes wrong. I'm a little over the top because, you know, I've been in this so long. I watch for everything, and you kind of get almost a paranoia. But absolutely, anything that's different. If you know your pet and you know that bonding and you see something different, it's an alert system to you. And this kind of goes back to something we were talking about earlier with celebrations, right? And one of the big things about a celebration is that you monitor your pet all the time, all day long. They're there for you 24/7, and you're there for them. And one of the things that happens in celebrations is that you can't monitor what's going on.
Right.
And so food gets dropped on the floor. Alcohol is sitting in reach where they can get to it.
Cigarettes, especially with dogs, cigarettes in the ashtrays.
Yes, so you can't control that environment. And absolutely, you know, that's when, you know, you're going to really be looking for, you know, symptoms if you're going to let your dog or cat socialize during that event. And it's just a bad idea to let them socialize in an event. As you were saying earlier, the doors get open, food's on the floor, toxic things are everywhere. Put them
wrappings,
away. Safe
wrappings
and sound.
And tinsel that attracts the cats are really
everything.
Key. Broken glass from holidayers is hidden in snow. I mean, there's just so many hazards. Half exploded fireworks at different times of year, sparklers, kids unexpectedly tossing crackers, firecrackers. There's so many things with the holidays where you really want to keep your pets close and under control.
Yeah,
and I think your point about routines is really important. I think people go out of their way to shop and get things for their pets, but your pet really just wants his usual walk. He just wants that extra trip to the dog park. Your cat just wants an extra half hour with you on Christmas. That's the present, right?
That's right. It's the routine. Keep their routine normal. Do
Absolutely.
Their walks the same, their food the same, their weather the same, their hugs, their love, their kisses, you know, and do one extra thing, you know, take them for a longer walk, take them for an outing for a coffee or a hot chocolate or something they like to do. Get them a nice big safe bone or toy or blanket to chew on and comfy music or turn on Animal Planet in a room. They can watch TV or listen to music, but get them out of the crowd because no matter how safe you think they are, nothing is safe when you have guests in your house because they're not watching what's going on with that animal.
Well, you know, cats have different dangers, but if you have a dog and people are sneaking them oatmeal cookies with raisins,
yep,
or chocolate or brownies, or, I mean, you know, maybe one little piece isn't going to hurt them, but you don't know that five or six different people aren't handing them things that could be deadly.
And
the reason Dusty particularly named raisins is because raisins and grapes are really toxic for dogs. You might not know that. They might not know that. Who wants to find out Christmas morning with a dead dog? Nobody. So, you know, you really got to watch it. And you got to tell your guests, please don't feed the dog. He has allergies, whatever the situation is. I also recommend if you really want your dog around, leash him, put a leash around your waist, attach him to you. Now you're in charge of him and you guys are together all day. You don't want to be with him, put him somewhere else or hand him off to someone else, put him around someone else's waist. But that way he can't sneak off, maybe get into the kitchen, maybe find that turkey gravy in the foil and binge eat a whole lot of tin foil and gravy, flip his stomach and end up like Marley and me, you know, in a clinic somewhere. So, like, really, that's another really big danger, binge eating at this time of year. If you want to give your dog something, some little treat from, you know, the turkey dinner or something like that, then just give him a little piece of turkey. We've had Dr. Kevin on the show talking about this before. Don't give him gravy. Don't give him garbage. Don't give him the stuff you want to throw out. That is not food, you know? So be smart about this. He's not your carburetor. Okay. Enough with that. I'm sorry. That's a little bit of my pedestal there.
It's important because everybody does it. And,
yeah.
And
oh, this smells off. I'll give it to Rover. Well, you know, he's not a tank.
No, like, they're domesticated now. They are not dogs in the wild.
Yeah. So, okay. So we talked about dress up and hazards, and we didn't talk about fire and flames. We did the last time you were on, Dusty. You know your cat's going to find candles irresistible. So what do you tell people who want candles and flames and Christmas trees and Hanukkah candles and birthday candles and all this jack-o'-lantern stuff, and they have cats? What do you tell them, Dusty?
Well, I tell them they have a lovely new line of candles with imitation flames. And they even smell like burning candles. Do that. You know, I don't know if I told you, but years ago, my family was just introduced to cats, so we didn't know anything. My uncle got his first kitty named Putty, and at Christmas, my aunt had a votive candle in the window between the kitchen and the dining room. And Putty jumped up on the ledge. He straddled the candle, and, of course, people are going, ah, and they started screaming, Putty, move, Putty, move. Well, he froze, of course, and his coat started smoldering, and you know, then he started running, and people started chasing him. Bottom line, Putty was fine, but that I immediately went home and threw out every candle in my house. So,
well, Putty could have got on fire, climbed the curtains, and lit the whole house on fire.
Oh, yeah,
and died in the fire. He could have gone and hid somewhere. I mean, so much can happen there. It's just a wonder it didn't. So really, really watch it with candles. If you have to light them and let them burn down for ceremonial reasons, use tiny little birthday candles or cut them into small pieces first. I want to talk about chocolate is another big one, right? So,
right.
Becky, I'll go with you next, but we definitely have to talk about chocolate.
Well, you know, chocolate falls into the category of we love it, they don't. Now, they do love it. They do love the smell and taste, but it is the biggest no-no on the planet. Chocolate is pure toxic. A dog cannot digest it, or a cat, they don't have the same digestive system we do.
The chemical in it, theobromine, is really, literally poison to dogs. So it's not like,
poison.
Oh, it won't hurt him. I'll give him a little bit of my chocolate bar. Yeah, it will. Why are you giving him a little bit of poison? This makes sense.
That's right. And, you know, when it comes to feeding our animals in any form, whether celebratory or something, you know, it's a simple thing to keep in mind. If you know, one is if you won't eat it, don't give it to them. Two is keep that in mind that they're processing. All they need is good source of protein, some good source of vegetables. Beware of fruit. Most fruit is not okay for dogs either. But, you know, it's like my dogs, all they eat is meat and vegetables. That's it. I don't have any dog food. I don't have any kibble. My treats are pure meat or dehydrated meat. And keep it on the tone of what's healthy. And what's healthy is, you know, what's healthy for you. If you go to Jack in the Box every single day, you know, you're going to have circumstances happen down the line sooner or later. So any kind of thing that's considered processed or sugar or junk food to you is poison to them. That's a simple rule of thought.
I like what you said about real food. You know, when I'm making stew for my family, I will set aside non-spicy, you know, a version of it for the dogs because they like stew. They really do. And there's easy ways to research online and find out what you can feed and what you can't feed. Always look for a recognized veterinary site, whatever you're doing, because there's so much online that's just malarkey. It's complete crap. Sometimes it's even opposite to the truth. So make sure you're really looking on a veterinary approved medical website when you're looking at recommendations for feeding. But something like brown rice or leftover ground beef or yogurt or cottage cheese, these are the things that you'll find listed on the high-end dog foods when you turn over and look at the ingredients. Eggs, that's because it's okay for dogs. So if you've got that in your fridge and you're not going to eat it and you don't want to throw it out and it's good, it's not gone bad, then you can feed it to your dog or your cat. And you can talk to your vet about this. Talk to them about the right ratio. But there's so much information out there. Just make sure you're looking at the veterinary-approved information when you do it. Okay, so I know we said before about how animals hide their pain, but I just want to say there are some exceptions to that. And I've encountered a couple of really quirky animals in my time. One was a border collie owned by a veterinarian, and this dog figured out that if he pretended to limp, he would get to see Daddy in the middle of the day. Yeah, nice one for me, the dog walker at the time. You know, and we figured it out because he kept favoring one paw, and in the middle of the exam, he actually forgot which paw and started favoring the other. We're all like, he's putting it on. This is like his new trick. So I've seen cats also, after overcoming some kind of medical condition or need for extra care and extra touching, pretend that they still need it. You know, seek it out continually. So if they like it, why not stroke them, pet them, brush them, continue the therapy even after they're well? If it's touch therapy, our animals know how to get to us. They know how to communicate. And that's one thing I wanted to touch on when we were talking about, Becky was saying how she knows her dog so well, and Dusty was saying you got to know if your cat's well or not. If you think they're not well, if it pops into your head that they're not well, that message didn't come from nowhere. It came from somewhere. It came from your observations of what's going on. It came from your intuition. It also might have come from a message from them. They might have shown you or told you in some way. If you're thinking, I don't think Rover's doing so good today, Kitty doesn't look well, you're probably right about that. What do you think about that, Dusty and Becky? Let's go with Becky first.
Absolutely. Well, I've had the, you know, fortunate experience, you know, that, and like you, you know, when your passion and love so much is for your animals, you know, like your human children, you get to know who they are, and they know who you are. And funny that you mentioned, you know, that of course they love playing on your emotions, and they can trick you into learning how to get your attention. But it's, for me, it's just so apparent when something's wrong. I know what they do in the morning. I know when I open my eyes and he's licking my face, it's a good day. I know that if he's not licking my face or he hasn't brought up his favorite toy, why didn't he do that today? Because dogs, and I don't know so much about cats, but dogs are very ritualistic. And they have their routine and they love their routine and they don't like anything that goes outside of that routine. And so all you have to do is know their routine, and anything that's changed is, he usually is laying next to me right now. Where is he? Oh, he's in the closet. He's in a bathroom. Why would he choose to go be alone in a different room? Something's off. oh, he doesn't want to eat breakfast right now. Something's off. And he's drinking more than usual today. Something's off.
Mm-hmm.
There's always clues when you know their habit and know that they like routine. And when that routine changes, it is a red flag. And your dogs do speak to you. They do communicate with you. They do come to you when they don't feel good or they go off by themselves. So it's really, you know, our heart and our gut and our minds and our souls, we just know if we're looking and we're listening. We're just,
you know, anyone out there listening who has a cat and thinks maybe this doesn't apply, that cats aren't ritualistic or routine.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. If you ever get up for your cat at 3 or 4 in the morning and give it food, good luck breaking that new ritual. Right, Dusty?
Absolutely. Absolutely. But what you were saying is so true. You know, the reason I am so excited about this this kidney test, back years ago, my husband had the most wonderful kitty named Nermal. And he said, you know, Nermal's just not doing right. I don't know what it is. He's just not doing right. I took him to the vet. The vet said,
Normal's not normal? Is that what you're telling us?
That's what we were saying. Normal's not normal. And the vet looked, checked him over and said, well, I wish my 13-year-old cat was this healthy. Well, I took him back 2 more times. He was not, and now the vet schools actually teach something called ADR, ain't doing right. They used to discount it like my vet did me, but now it's like ain't doing right, and there is actually a blood test called ADR. And, you know, there are the typical things that they test for. But, you know, if your kitty or dog just ain't doing right, and you can't put your finger on it, and you can't, you know, you need to go to the vet. Another cat of ours, we didn't notice that she stopped sleeping with us. And then when I was doing the product testing for the magazine Catnip, I was testing kitty steps for the bed. And it was so funny because I put the steps next to the bed, and next thing I know, this cat was sleeping with us. And I never thought, oh, my God, she stopped sleeping with us because she couldn't get in bed because of arthritis.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's just things like that. Has the cat stopped sleeping with you recently? You know, is he drinking?
Is there a change in habits for no reason? You know, when you say ain't doing right, I don't know what it's called in England, but I know they don't call it that here. I wonder what they call it here in Canada. I could just imagine my vet if I walked in and said, I wanna have you ain't doing right policy here. Let's evoke the ain't doing right test. Look at me like I had 3 heads. But I think that's so appropriate. Do you know what? It so makes sense because you know your animal, and they should listen to you. I wish they had that here. I'm going to have to figure out what they call it here. Okay, so we talked about all kinds of things today, and we're going to have to wrap up. We've gone a little bit over time, actually, but they're putting up with us because we're making great radio and we're educating people in a really mindful way. So I thank you, ladies. And we've been talking with Becky Starr and Dusty Rainbolt, and just invite you to close out a little bit with how to reach you, how to find more about you, whatever you want to leave people with. Becky?
Well, anybody can reach me. I don't know if you do. You know, my email is becky@redstonemediagroup.com. That's just like it sounds, red, R-E-D, stone, S-T-O-N-E, media, M-E-D-I-A, group.com. Just Becky in the beginning. You can reach out to me via email, and if I don't have the answers, I can certainly find them for you. And also, you know, my offer is open to anyone who would like a free-year subscription to any one of our magazines. You know, send me an email. Give me your name, address, phone number. I'd be happy to provide that kind of education for you and spread the love and just enjoy the holidays and hug those animals as much as you can because they're there for you 24/7 and you need to be there for their 24/7.
Well, Becky, I'm going to take you up on that for my website. I'm going to contact you after the show and put up a link where people can get that free offer easily from debwolf.ca. But I also wanted to ask you, Dusty. Now, normally, Dusty, it's like when I interview someone locally on AM radio and they want to, like, name all the things they're looking for, like blankets and towels. You're always looking for something weird. Stories about cats who walk on the ceiling. Is there anything you're looking for today?
Yes, I'm still working on my inappropriate elimination book. So if anybody has stories about overcoming inappropriate elimination with their cats.
Those out-of-the-box kitties. Yes, indeed. We're back on that, are we?
we are back
in the gutter.
That.
Oh, the trash talk. Okay, so if you got a cat that pees in the bathtub, pees in the sink, pees on the carpet, pees in your husband's shoes. I've actually seen all of these personally because I do cat training as well as dog training. But it's amazing, the variations on these themes, right, Dusty?
Absolutely.
Yes, indeed.
It gives a whole new meaning to when cats get pissed off. It isn't only when they have a urinary problem.
Well, true. Okay, but you know what? Sometimes people like to think the cat's mad or aloof or angry or vengeful, when really it just doesn't like it that the dryer goes on and makes a loud noise right beside the litter box. There's something so unconnected for humans, but big time connected for the cat.
There's no vengeance. They are just trying to solve a problem in the best way that they can.
That's right.
Find a safe place to go. And
because
that's like me when I go to a football game and I'm lined up long down the highway watching the men's room just, you know, tickety-boo, moving along. And the women's room, oh, my gosh, it's going to take all game just to get to the toilet. I'm going to have to line up again by the time I get there. So you can't do that to your cats, right, Dusty? If you've got more than one cat, they're not going to share well, are they?
They do not share well, and you need one litter box per kitty plus one extra. And one for every story in the house. If you have a three-story house, you need at least one on every story.
Which sounds like a lot. So if you think that's a lot, maybe you got to stop getting extra cats, right?
Well, may I throw in there, too, you'll find I've heard many of my clients and stories there where they have their, you know, one kitty litter box in the house, even if it's one cat, and it'll be, let's say, downstairs. When you have a two-story house, that cat will get to a point where they're lazy and don't want to walk downstairs. So, you know, you need to have multiples because you never know. They may not like going down in the dark themselves.
Well lazy or sometimes closed out inadvertently. If you shut the door, they can't get in there to the basement. Or if you have two cats, one blocks the other in this, like, sort of like underground world that we never see, where one is like putting the boots to the other, and the other cat has no bathroom privileges without begging. I mean, you gotta create a more peaceful atmosphere, because cats don't really fight over food. They do a little bit, but they fight over litter box, don't they, Dusty?
They do. It's part of prime real estate. And one of the ways to keep peace in your house is to have enough resources for everybody and have them spread out so they can't guard them. And another thing is, a lot of people have the boxes in the basement or whatever. You know, that works okay until the cat starts getting older. And like people, he, you know, may not have as much warning that he needs to go. If he starts developing cognitive issues, he may not remember where it is. So you need to make it easy for them. Even if they're young, healthy pets, just make it easy for them to do the right thing.
Well, I think we should maybe do a whole show on old age, because people get their puppy and their kitten and they read and they take DVDs and downloads and they're all into it, which I love. I'm producing those downloads and all that puppy information. But they kind of forget about the other end. And for most people, you're going to have a geriatric dog or cat way longer than you're going to have a puppy or kitten.
And the disabled. Trust me, I've had paralyzed pets and, you know, heart problem pets and dogs. And, you know, they do. People need to learn, you know, that they got to take care of them just like they would themselves.
Exactly.
There's a really great website, Tripod Dogs, out there for that.
Yes.
Okay, everybody. So we have to go. We're going to have to say goodbye, Dusty and Becky.
Thank you so much for having me on today. It was my pleasure meeting you all. And have a wonderful holiday.
Oh, you too. And enjoy that little scrum of energy you've got there. Give him a tennis ball for me. Or two.
Oh, she loves tennis balls on the beach here.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, again with the beach. You just got to rub it in.
I had to throw that in
just,
for you.
You got to do that. It's like, oh, put on my rubber boots and ski jacket. Yeah, thanks. Okay. No, I'm happy out here. Don't worry, everybody. I'm at Camp Good Dog. And if you want to see how happy it is out here, check out our Facebook site. I had those 8 puppies born a couple weeks back, and we do have first snowfalls, so we might actually have the 2 at the same time. Snow puppies. The best thing ever. So, yeah, stay tuned for more cute puppy moments. They opened their eyes yesterday. So, cute things to follow at Camp Good Dog Facebook. Or just come to me at debwolf.ca, and I'll put up a link so you can get that free subscription that Becky offered all of us. Thank you, Becky. And thank you, Dusty. Send your inappropriate elimination stories to Dusty, because she wants them, and I do not.
I do not. I love them. Send them to me. You can reach me through my website, dustycatwriter.com, and that's W-R-I-T-E-R, not writing a cat.
Dusty, you know they're going to send them to me, and they're going to send pictures. And I don't want more poo-poo pictures, everybody. I get it. I know what it looks like to see a poop in a bathtub. I know what it looks like to see. Now, but I describe it on air. Now I'm going to get more of them. Send them to Dusty.
Too much information,
Dusty, Deb. Loves this stuff. Okay, everybody. Smart Animal Talk, All Paws Pet Talk
Merry
Radio.
Christmas.
Until next time, Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and be good to your animals. And anytime you're near.